All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Mamish to match the beauty of the day. Incredible, incredible. Okay, so we'll say, first of all, a thank you to our breakfast sponsors this morning, to Mr. and Mrs. Gil Horowitz for dedicating the breakfast in honor of the members of the Shir, the Yom Tov of Sukkis, and out of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the Shef and Brachos that he showers upon all of us. I thank you to the Levitans who have sponsored the Daf throughout the days of Sukkis, as the Schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the Tfilos of all of Klal Yisrael, bring Mashiach and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Hei Rabbi Ameinu. Amen. And of course to our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, to Jacob and Julie Blumenfeld, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos of this incredible month in the Laliyas Nishmas, their grandmothers, and the Schus of the Gemar Chasim Torah for all of Klal Yisrael. But we'll say with that, let's begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Oh, you know what? I have pictures. Okay, I'll send it out afterwards. So we'll say, so today's daf is Lamed Aleph. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Beis. And of course, I don't know that he's in here yet. Is Said in here?
No.
All right, so I'll just thank him when he comes in for the beautiful breakfast. Okay, Rabbi Say, let's begin. Mishnah Lamed Amud Beis, the bottom. Lo hayu kofsin es hatala, ela ma'akidin osom. So Rabbi Say, now again, continuing in the offering of the carbon tamid. So the Mishnah says they would not tie up the lamb. Now Rabbi Say, so just so you understand, in general, the way they used to, if you were transporting livestock, or even normally slaughtering livestock, the way you would do it is you would tie all 4 feet together. That's what one would normally do. So the Mishnah points out that they would not go ahead and tie up the lamb for the carbon mincha for the carbon tamid in that way. Ela ma'akidin also. Rather, I will say they would do this lashon of ma'akidin. Ma'akidin is actually quite fascinating. We'll see. But for our purposes, what it means is they would tie the right foreleg with the right hind leg. Right, they would go ahead and tie. So again, the right foreleg together with the right hind leg, the left foreleg together with the left hind leg. So that's how they would do it. In order to, obviously, you need to tie down the animal in some way, otherwise it runs. But lamaisika, they wouldn't tie all 4 feet together. Instead, again, front leg with hind leg, front leg with hind leg. Misha zachu beivarem och zinbo. We'll say ultimately again, he who went ahead and drew the lot was Zocha to the Ivarim, ultimately to be one of the people who would carry up the limbs up the ramp of the Mizbeach, ultimately would hold on to the sheep. And this is how they would go ahead and slaughter it. Rosh Holodorim, its head would be facing the south. Panav Lamarov, but its face would be facing the west. V'hashochet omid b'mizrach upanav lamarov. And the shochet himself would be standing in the east, but facing towards the west. Shal shachar hayanishchat al keren sifonis ma'aravis. So we'll say, so the tamid shal shachar, remember again, there are two tamidim. There's a tamid shal shachar, tamid shal bein harbayim. Morning communal offering, afternoon communal offering. What the Mishnah now is pointing out is that each of those offerings used a different ring. Remember again, we spoke about yesterday by the Beis HaMidbachim. You saw the picture that there, in between the Mizbeach, and remember you have the Mizbeach, you have the rings behind the Mizbeach, and then you have again the poles, right, the columns together with the tables. So the Mishnah says over here that halacha lemaisa, the morning tamid was shechted al keren sifonis ma'aravas al taba'as shnia. So the morning tamid was slaughtered by the keren sifonis ma'aravas. So we'll say, so the Safon is north, Ma'aravis is with the northwest corner, Al Taba'as Shnia, using the second ring. Shabain Ha'arbayim, Hayanishchat Al Karen Mizrachis Tsefonis, Al Taba'as Shnia. The carbon tamid of the afternoon tamid, was shechted ultimately again by the Mizrachis Tsefonis, the northeast, right? The northeast corner, Al Taba'as Shnia. Ultimately, again, using the second ring. So we'll say the point of the game, we'll see why this is, but we're going to see again that the two carbonos were held down by two different rings. Shachat ha-shochet v'kibel ha-makabel. The shochet went ahead and shechted the animal. The makabel received the blood. Ubalo l'keren mizrachis tsefonis. And he came ultimately again, he came to the keren mizrachis tsefonis. V'nosein mizracha tsefona. And he would apply the blood, we'll say, on the east and on the north. Ma'aravis Duromis, then he would come to the Karen Ma'aravis Duromis, Vinosin al ma'arava diroma, and would apply the blood on the west and on the south. Shiyare hadam, the leftover blood, hayashofech al yisod diromis, he would pour down by the base of the mizbeach on the south. Top of Lamed Aleph. Lo hayashover as haregel. So Rabbi says, remember again, yesterday we spoke about the pillars, right? And halacha lemais, again, the pillars themselves had a series of iron hooks. So after they would slaughter the animal, they would hang up the animal in order to flay it, in order to skin it. So lo hayashover as haregel. So Rabbi says, apparently, the Rush points this out as well, normally butchers, after going ahead and slaughtering an animal, would break the leg. So over here, they would not break the leg. Rather, what would they do? Elenokvo misoch arkuvo vitolabo. Rather, what they would do is they would hang the animal up in the area by the knee. So they would hang the animal to be flayed on an iron hook, and they would allow the hook to pierce the knee area. Hayamafshit v'yored ad shemagia lachazeb. So they would go ahead and skin the animal, pull the hide down until they get to the chest. Higia lachazeb, once they got to the chest, chatach es harosh, they would cut off the head. V'nasno lamisha zachabo. And they would give the head, remember again, carrying the head up the ramp was one of the lotteries that was drawn. So ultimately, again, they would give the head to the kohen who was going to carry the head. They would then cut off the feet. And we give to the kohen ultimately, again, who won that lottery. They would then continue to go ahead and finish up with skinning the animal. Karas halev, they would then tear out the heart. Tear out the heart sounds a little bit too dramatic. They would take out the heart. Vahotzi es damo. And also what they would do is they would extract the blood from the heart. Chatach es hayadayim, they would then cut off the forelegs. Vinasnat, Gil, this should have been a fleshic breakfast. I'm just thinking about this as we're going through this. Mamish, you know, come on. First of all, I'll say a very special thank you to Saeed. Thank you very much, Saeed. Mamish, five stars, incredible. Thank you so much. So chatach es hayadayim vinasnat l'misha zachaba, and they would then cut off the forelegs, give it to the kohen who was going to carry them. Allah l'regel hayimanis. They would then come ultimately again to the regal hayim. So remember again, yadayim are the forelegs, raglayim are usually referring to the hind legs. So allah l'regel hayimanis, they came back. They came to the right hind leg. Chatcha v'nasna l'misha zachaba. Ultimately, when they would cut off the right hind leg, so they would give it to the kohen who was going to carry it. Ubeis beitzim ima, and I both say the beitzim of the animal would come along with the hind leg. Karu, v'nimtzu kulo galis. So at this point in time, remember, they're cutting down the animal. So at this point in time now, the entire, I don't know what the right lushan is, the cavity, like the body cavity of the animal, where all of the internal organs, was now galoi lefanov, was now open, ready for business, right? Galoi lefanov. Natal as hapadar. So they would go ahead and take the pader. So we'll see again. Now remember, the pader literally is fat. It refers actually specifically to chalev, the forbidden, right, the chalavim that were not eaten and were ultimately offered up on the mizbeach was placed on that. Now we'll say, now you'll see why would they, what is the chalev? What does the fat have to do with the head? V'nasnu abes hashchita. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when offering up the head, so halacha lemaisa, they wanted to make sure that ultimately, again, the incision of the beis hashchita would not be visible. Meaning it's not bakhavadik for the incision of the beis hashchita to be visible. So what they would do is, they would take the fat, and they would put it underneath the head. So the head would rest on the fat. This way, covered up. It doesn't sound like it looked better, but apparently it did look better. What?
Like an ascot,
right? Right, little slight on ascot, good. A carbonic ascot, beautiful. V'nasna b'sashchita. Harosh milamala. So the head would be on top, and ultimately, again, the fats would be underneath the b'sashchita, underneath the head. After that, notlas akarbayim, they would take the intestines. V'nasnan l'misha zachabayim. They would give the intestines to the kohen. Ultimately, again, who's going to carry it up. Rabbi, before you take the intestines, l'hadicham. Ultimately, the intestines had to be cleaned. Now, we'll say, what does it mean to be? So remember, the intestines could contain some waste. So they would squeeze the waste out of the intestines first before offering it up. V'akeres, when it came to the stomach. Madichen osa b'beis hamadichem. So we'll say they would clean out the stomach in a place called the Beis HaMadichin. Umadichin also called Sarcha. And they would, they, apparently, again, when it comes to the stomach, ultimately, again, there's much more waste in the stomach. So that often had to be cleaned a couple of times. Madichin also, Shalosh Pamimimi Utan. They would clean it at least three times. Al Shulchanos Shal Shayish Shebein Ha'amudim. And they would use, ultimately, again, the tables made of marble that were situated in between the pillars. We're going to talk more about the tables in a bit. Natalas Asakin V'hifrish Es Hareya Min HaKavid. So we'll say, ultimately, again, then the Kohen who was shechting and dismembering the animal would take the knife, and he would detach the lungs from the liver. The Espaha Kavit Minakavit, and there'd be like a little finger like protrusion coming from the liver that would go together with the liver. They would not detach the little finger from the liver, rather it would come along. No cave esachose. They would then go ahead of Osei and detach the chose, right? The chose are like is the chest. They would detach the chest. Venasna lamisha zachaba. They would give the chest to the coin, ultimately, again, who won the lottery. Allah ledofen hayimonis. When they came, ultimately, again, to the right flank of the animal. Hayacholtich viyoret ad hashedra. They would cut from the flank all the way down to the spine. V'lo hayinogeh b'shedra. But they would not go ahead. You did that. They did not want to in any way cut the spine. Ad shemagia lebein beis tzalaos dakos. Until they got to two small ribs. Chatcha. They would then cut. V'nasna lemisha zachaba. And ultimately, again, they would give the right flank together with these two small ribs, ultimately to the Kohen who had won that lottery. V'akavit luyaba. They were saying, what also came out? The liver came out. Liver came out with this. Ba lo legera. Ultimately, again, when they would come to the gera, so the Gemara says, excuse me, hiniach bashtei tzlos. Ultimately, again, they would go ahead. This is the neck. They would go ahead and leave two ribs there as well. So what would happen? I'm sorry, I lost the place here. Sorry, Paul again. They would leave two ribs on this side and two ribs on the other side. They would cut it out and they would give it to the Kohen who had won that lottery. Hakana v'halev v'hareya tuluyim ba. And also when you removed this, so the kana, right, which is the windpipe, right, the lev, the heart, and the reya, and the lungs would all come out with it as well. Ba'lo ludofen asmolus. They would then come to the left flank of the animal. Hiniach b'ashtetzlos. Once again, they would leave two ribs, shtetzlos dakos, excuse me, two small ribs mila malon on top. Ushtetzlos dakos. And two soft ribs or two small ribs below it. And I will say ultimately again the same thing they did with the right flank will be the same thing they did with the left flank. Nimtza maniach shtayim shtayim milamalo shtayim shtayim milamaton. This will say turned out that what? They would each flank would have two ribs left above it, two ribs left below it. It's not literally above and below. What it means is two upper ribs, two, I'm sorry? On either end of it. So the Gemara says, Shtayim shtayim milamalo shtayim shtayim milamaton. Chatcha v'naslan l'misha zacha. They would cut out the left flank, give it to the coin who won the lottery. V'hashedra ima. Now both say, now interestingly enough, the spine would come with the left flank. V'atachol talo ibo. So the spine together with the spleen all came out. V'hi ha'isa gidola. Interestingly enough, both say, you could see the left flank was larger than the right flank. Just because, again, you see more stuff came out with the left flank of the animal. Nevertheless, Ela Shayamin Korin Gidola, but interestingly enough, the right flank, was called the larger flank. Why? Shakavit Luyaba. Ultimately, again, because the liver came out with it. So because the liver came out with it, therefore it's called the larger one. Balo l'ukitz. They came to the ukitz. Now, interestingly enough, so the Mefarish Rashi translate ukitz ultimately as zonov, as the tail. Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rosh seem to indicate that it actually refers more like to not just the tail, but the tail and the backside of the animal. All right, but good, we'll go with tail, because that's Mefarish. Balo l'ukitz, he came to the tail. Chotcho, they cut it. V'nosna l'mishe zachabo. and they gave it ultimately to the Kohen who was going to carry it up. Ha'alya ve'etzba ha'kaved u'beis klayos imos. Interesting enough, we'll say this way, it seems to make a little bit more sense that it's not just a tail, but it also includes the backside of the animal. When you cut off that part, what came with it? The alya fats, etzba ha'kaved, some type of what's called the finger of the liver. Obeys Kloyos, and the kidneys came out with it as well. Natal es haregel asmalis. They then came ultimately again to the regel asmalis, to the rabbis. Remember again, the regel is the left hind leg. Chotcha v'nasna l'misha zachaba. They cut it out and they gave it to the Kohen ultimately again, who won that lottery. So rabbis, here we go. So now we've officially finished the dismembering of the carbon tamid. Nimtzu. Kulan omdim b'shura. I suppose this is incredible. So what would they do? Everything then ended up standing in a shura. They both said, we're going to, well, watch this. Nimtzu kulan omdim b'shura ve'ivarim b'yadim. So we'll say, so now after this, what ended up happening was as follows. The Kohanim would all be holding their respective sacrificial parts. They lined up. I'm going to send you a picture of this. Actually, you know what? Larry, I think you have it. I saw it in that Gemara, in the Safa Brura Gemara. Right? You have the picture there? You could just take a picture of that page. Because that's... Thank you. So good. So the got it sent.
No, my phone is dead.
Oh, your phone's dead. Good. You have it. Good.
No one else is authorized. Exactly. Say it.
Okay.
Say it. Anyway.
Good. So let's say. So again, the truth is, it's just a picture of Kohanim standing with animal parts in line. It's actually not. You can kind of imagine this one on your own. You don't need a lot of help, but good. So let's say. So the Gemara says all the Kohanim would be standing in line. So they were all standing in line, ultimately, and what? And the sacrificial parts were in their hands. Amud Beis, Rabbosai. Amud Beis. Harishon. Berosho Berega. So I'll say, here it is. So now, so we'll say, now what just happened is the Mishnah went through the entire list of all of the different sacrificial parts, how the animal was carved up. Now, and right, and each Kohen got his part. Now the Mishnah is going to say again, the order of the Kohanim standing in line to put down their sacrificial parts. Harishon Barosha Barego. The first Kohen was holding the head and a hind leg. Harosh Biyamino. So now we're going to tell you also how the Kohanim held it. It's pretty amazing. Harosh Biyamino. I both say there's a seder to everything. You know, the beauty in the Beis HaMikdash is there is no detail that's left to imagination. Everything is scripted. Because ultimately, again, if you want to be the paradigmatic Ovid Hashem, ultimately, again, you have to be attentive to the details. As we said yesterday, the Moshe was in the details. Harishon Barosh Rego. So the first coin would stand with the head and the hind leg. Harosh Piemino, he would hold the Rosh, he would hold the head of the animal in his right hand. Vichotmo klapes ro'o, the nose, the snout of the animal, was inward towards the arm of the Kohen. Karnov bein etzbaosav, he would hold the horns of the animal between his fingers. Beis shchitaso milamalon, supposed to say the beis shchita, meaning it's a severed head. So the neck of the animal was pointing upwards, but remember, v'hapeder nasun ala, the ascot, right? So I'll say, so remember, that's excellent, by the way, right? So I'll say, so remember again, the fat was sitting on top of the neck, because remember, the neck is pointing upwards. You don't want to see the beis hashchita. So what they would do is they would cover the beis hashchita, ultimately again, with the fat. Haregel shal yamin bismolo. Ultimately, in his left hand, the coin would be holding the right hind leg, ubeis oran luchutz. And I will say, beis oran means, ultimately, the flesh of the leg would be pointing outward. Next, hasheni b'shtei adayim. I will say, the second coin was holding the two front legs. Shal yamin b'yamino, the right leg in his right hand, v'shal smol b'smolo, and the left leg in his left hand, ubeis oran luchutz. And on both sides, the flesh of the leg was pointing outside. This is actually very interesting. There's this concept, was said, and it sounds a little bit foreign to us, because the truth is, although I'm really proud of you, not one person put down their plate during this entire Mishnah. Such mesiras nefesh for breakfast in the sukkah. It's quite amazing. So what I do want to point out to you is something amazing. Although this seems like a pretty, like, intense avod, right? The animal's hanging there. The Kohen is literally cutting it up. Everybody's getting animal parts. Like, they're literally... You know, so like, this is not like a metaphor, right? And by the way, there's no gloves. Just so you understand, right? No. On a serious note, remember, you can't use gloves in the Beis HaMikdash, right? They can't be any kind of chatzitza. So they're literally holding animal parts, right? There's blood, everything is around. Interestingly enough, though, you still see that there is the halacha dictates that you make it, it's going to say a strange word, you clean it up or you make it look as pretty as possible. Right? So I don't want the beis hashchita exposed. We're going to put a layer of fat on top of that. When it comes to the limbs of the animal, I don't want like the severed socket area to be visible. Instead, what do I want? I want the flesh part to be visible. So you see, it's this interesting dialectic, bless you. This, you know, that on one hand, again, this is pretty intense stuff, right? Pretty graphic stuff. Yet, to whatever degree possible, we could pretty it up. We clearly do that. That's the covet. So right there. Vashlishi, third coin. Bu'ukats, right? The third coin, ultimately, again, what happens to the third coin? Bu'ukats, Rabbi says, see, he's holding the tail, but as you pointed out, it's really not just the tail, it's the tail and the back side of the animal. So Ashlishi Ba'ukits Uberegel. And he's also holding one of the hind legs. Ha'ukits Biyamino, so the back side of the animal is in his right hand. Ha'al Yom Midudelas Be'netz Ba'osav. This is incredible, right? So this is the actual tail. The tail itself is dangling between his fingers. The Etzba Ha'Kaveit Ushtei Klayos Imo. And this finger protrusion from the liver and the two kidneys is along with it. Haregel shall small bismolo. So ultimately, again, the left hind leg is in his left hand. Ubeis oron lechutz. And ultimately, the part of the hide is facing outwards. Harevi, fourth coin. Bechazem ubegera. Ultimately, again, the fourth coin is holding the chaza and the gera. Chaza biyamino, the chaza is in his right hand. Gera bismolo, utsalosav bein shtei etzbaosav, and the ribs are between his two fingers. We'll say, so now, by the way, it's actually something very interesting. So you know how the Mishnah, when it was discussing the cutting up of the chaza, of the chest, spoke about the ribs and the need to leave ribs. Now you also understand, meaning there might be a deeper reason for it. But what's fascinating about this is one of the purposes that leaving the ribs serves is what? To grip. Right, to grip, ultimately, because we'll say, Pashtos, it must have been like heavy and slippery. Yeah. Right, there's like a lot of stuff going on over here. Right, so we'll say, so again, he's holding it by the ribs. Pretty incredible. Chamishi, fifth coin, Bishtei Defanos. Bishtei Defanos, Shal Yamin Biyamino, Shal Smol Bismolo. Fifth coin, he held the two Defanos, the two flanks, the right flank in his right hand, the left flank in his left hand, Ubeis Oron Lechutz. I will say, we keep the hide of the animal, the flesh, right, facing out. As opposed, let's say, meaning the flank obviously has two parts. It has the external hide piece and the inner cavity piece. We don't want the inner cavity piece facing out, we want the hide piece facing out. Hashishi, the sixth coin. Bikravayim Hanasunim Babaza. So we'll say, listen to this, it's actually very interesting. The sixth coin, who was holding the intestines, he got a bowl. That's the lottery you want to win, right? He got a utensil. So they would go ahead and they'd put the intestines in the utensil. Ukra'ayim agabeim. And they would put the feet on top of the utensil. Ukra'ayim agabeim. Milamala on top of it. So there was the intestines in a bowl, and ultimately the feet on top of the intestines. Hazayin, actually this is probably the coin you want to be. Hazayin, the seventh coin, Besolas. He carries fried flour. Good. Hashmini bechavitim. Right, the eighth coin again. He would go in and bring the chavitim of the coin gadol. Hatashii bayayin. That's probably the guy you want to be. Right, the ninth coin. Ultimately, I would bring wine. So we'll say, listen to this. So this is incredible, by the way. So now you have nine kohanim. And again, in the picture that was, did it go through the picture? So I'll say, so again, it's just a great picture. The kohanim are lined up. They're all lined up, ready to place their respective items, ultimate, on the Mizbeach. So watch this, Rabbi. Say, Holchu v'nosnu michatzi kevesh ulamata b'ma'aravos. So we'll say they would go to the west of the ramp, and what they would do is they would line up, they would place their respective items down from the middle of the ramp downwards, right? Meaning from the middle to the beginning of the ramp. And they would arrange, each of them would arrange their items just in the order we just said before. Umalchum, they would then salt everything, because again, you need to salt. And then they would go. So we'll say, this is fascinating, right? And again, you would only know this if you learn these Mishnayos in Tamid, which is, see, we would often think, they get their stuff, right? They get their sacrificial parts, line up, and what? Do it, right? Do it. Burn it. Put it on the Ma'aracha. No, they arranged it on the ramp of the altar from the middle downwards, salted, and then they left it. They're going to come back later. The yardu ubalan lishkas hagazis. This is so beautiful. So they would leave everything on the ramp. They would then come to the lishkas hagazis, which, remember, the chamber of hewn stone. That's where the Sanhedrin sat as well. Likros es shema. And I was like, why would they stop? They would stop to daven. So it's actually interesting. If you take a look, the Rush says over here, likros es shema ulehispalel. Well, the Hispalah would say, Kodim Haktorah, Shehe Karban Reach Nichoach. Rabbi said, this is so beautiful. So before they actually offered up the Karban, they would go Davin. Why would they go Davin? In order that the Karbanos should actively be a Reach Nichoach, that it should be pleasing, that it should be accepted. The Mefarish Rashi says over here, Ubo Lelishkas Hagazas Likros Hashma, Ula Achar Kriyashma, Yaktiris Haktores, after Kriyashma they'll do the Ktores, Vahachi Nachon Adover, She Ispalalu Kodim, She Yaktiru Shum Hekter, Vial Karbanos Lechabos. So what do you see from here? You see, we sometimes think that in the absence of Karbanos, what we have is what? It's Tefillah. It's Tefillah. So Tefillah is like the runner-up. Right? We had Karbanos, we no longer have Karbanos, you have Tefillah. You see, by the way, that's not true. You see that even when there were Karbanos, what made Karbanos into Reach Nichoach? Tefillah. Tefillah. I'm about to say the incredible power of Tefillah, that even Karbanos were not offered without Tefillah. Even Karbanos were not offered without Kriyas Shema. So I'm about to say, it's true we don't have Karbanos. Well, you'll excuse me, we have something even better than Karbanos. We have Tefillah. Because even the Kohanim themselves would not go ahead and offer up their Karbanos until after they daven. So incredible. Says the Gemara. Here we go. So going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, remember, the Mishnah used an interesting verb. Of lo hayukovsin es atala ela ma'akidin. So the Mishnah says, they would not go ahead and tie up the animal, rather ma'akidin. So also, we've never heard that word before. Ma'akidin, that's not, what kind of word is that? What we know, so look at what the Mishnah says. Tana, yad v'regel. Ma'akidin, Rabosei, means to tie a front leg and a hind leg together. Where does that verb come from? Ke'akedas Yitzchak ben Avram. Rabosei, that verb comes from Akedas Yitzchak. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba says that when Avraham Avinu put Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, so Yitzchak turned to Avraham Avinu and he said, Abba, bevakasha kafsani. Father, please tie me up, because he said, I'm mefachik shema tazuz v'tipasa lashchita. Yitzchak Avinu says, I'm scared that maybe when I see the knife coming to me, I'm going to move, just reflexively, and I'm going to pasal the shchita. So Yitzchak asked his father to tie him up. Right? How did Avraham Avinu tie Yitzchak up? Front, right? Literally, again, arm to leg, left arm to left leg, left, right arm to right leg. That's the lashon of ma'akidin. As opposed to normally, you would tie up an animal, tying all 4 feet together. Here, ma'akidin, they would tie the front foreleg to front hind leg, left foreleg to left foreleg. So the Gemara says, listen to this. My time, what's the reason for this? This is incredible. My time, what's the reason? So Rav Huna and Rav Chista, machlokes. Chad amar mishum bizayin kachim. So we'll say, one opinion says, because if you tie all 4 legs together, that's bizayin to kachim. Why is it a bizayin to kachim? Because that's how you go ahead and you tie an animal and you're taking it to market. Right, so if you're selling livestock, and livestock, I guess, doesn't always just follow, you tie everything together and you go ahead and you sell it like that. V'chad amar, the other opinion says, V'chad amar mishum demahalich b'chukei ha'amim. Well, see, others say, this is actually very interesting, that by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, when they would sacrifice their animals, they would tie all 4 legs together. So again, everyone agrees you don't tie all 4 legs together. You do ma'akidin. Machlokes as to why. Is it because ultimately, again, it looks bizarre and kachim, it looks like you're taking it to market, or because it's the way that the akum, that the gayim would do it, that the of the avodah zarah would do it? My ben Abba say, what's the nafkamina? Ikabinayu the kafse bishirai inami buhutze the davar. Abba say, listen, is an interesting nafkamina. Nafkamina Abba say, what happens? What happens if you were to tie it up? Right, tie all 4 feet together with silk, or to tie all 4 feet together with gold. Right, Abba say, if this is a din in bizarre and kachim, then what? That's not a bizayon, right? If it's tied with gold, tied with silk, that's beautiful. But if it's a din in emulating that which the Avodah Zarah do, then ultimately, again, that will be problematic no matter what you tie it with. Tanan Hasam, most another incredible Gemara learned in the Mishnah. Gemara is recording a Mishnah from Shkalim. Shloshes Shulchanos Haibamikdash. There were 13 tables in the Beis Hamikdash. This is actually quite interesting. Shmona. I'm sorry. Shmona Shel Shayish Beis Hamitbachim. Eight of them were made of marble, and they were in the Beis Hamitbachim. Remember we saw yesterday, the Beis Hamitbachim is that area. Is that area behind the Mizbeach, right? There's the Mizbeach, there's the rings, and then there's what's called the Beis Hamitbachim is not a chamber. It's just an open area where slaughter, that's where the pillars were, that's where the tables were. So eight tables of marble, right? Beis Hamitbachim, Shalem Adichin Esakibarim. We'll say that's where they would clean out the intestines. Beis B'ma'arava Shel Kevesh. There were another two tables in the west of the ramp. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel kesef. One made of marble, right? And one made of silver. Al shel shayish nosnes ha'ivarim. On the marble table, that's where they replaced the limbs. V'al shel kesef, v'al shel kesef klei shareis. And on the silver table, that's where they replaced down the other service utensils. Uba ulam, in the ulam, which is like the antechamber of the Beis HaMikdash. In the ulam, shnayim mibifnim. Ha'pesach ha'bayis. There were two more tables at the entranceway when you entered in. Echad shel kesef, echad shel zav. One made of silver, one made of gold. Al shel kesef, no snin, lechem ha'panim b'chinisas. This is incredible. So in the ulam, there were these two tables. One of silver, one of gold. So on the one of silver, they would put the new lechem ha'panim. Meaning that like the lechem, the on deck lechem ha'panim. Right, so lechem ha'panim, the new lechem ha'panim that's going to be put on the primary shulchan. So the on deck table was the silver table. Va'al shel zav yitzyaso. So we'll say, this is incredible. The way, Shemalin b'kodesh omurin. So we'll say, listen to this. So the way lechem ha'panim would strictly would be like this. When it was fresh bread, that had, meaning newly baked bread, that had not yet been put on the shulchan, right, the 12 loaf shulchan, it would start off on the silver table. When they would then remove the older, last week's lechem ha'panim, and replace it, it would go onto the golden table. That's the golden table of Moshe Rabbeinu. When its week was over and it would be taken off, it would come out and would be put on the second golden table in the entranceway of the ulam. So it went silver, gold, major shulchan, secondary shulchan of gold as well. Why? Shema'alin b'kodesh v'lo moridin. Because ultimately, you know, because halacha l'maisa, we go up in kodesh. And ultimately, again, we don't go down. Ve'echad shel zav bifnim shalav lechem ha'panim tamid. And I will say so again. And of course, so those are that's a silver table and a golden table at the entrance way to the ulam. But of course, this does not include the major shulchan, right? The shulchan. The shulchan fashioned by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi say Rashi makes a very interesting observation over here. If you take a look at Rashi, Shema alin bakolish v'lo moridin kigom bechnisasa manichin al shel kesef ukeshemagia behechal al shel Moshe shay mitzupa zav hari aliyah v'lo moridin lefichach biyitziyasu manicho al kli shel zav. So on a basic level, once the lechem upon him was on the golden shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, when it's now being taken out, it's going to be given to the Kohanim. But before it's given to Kohanim, it has to be put down. You can't put it on a silver table, right? Because why? That'd be a diminution in the Kiddusha. Therefore, it goes from the golden table of Moshe Rabbeinu to another golden table. Rashi points out something amazing. Ve'eser shulchanos hayu adayin behechal sha'asa Shlomo. Also, we know in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, he made another 10 golden shulchanos. Another 10 golden shulchanos. Right, but like shulchanos that resemble the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Like the real shulchan, the 12 stack, right? The 12 loaf shulchan. So, what about those? Actually makes an amazing observation. It is true that Shlomo HaMelech made another 10 shulchanos, like the 10 tables of Moshe Rabbeinu that could house 12 loaves, but what? Loaves were never placed there. They were more decorative than anything else. Therefore, the Gemara here doesn't discuss the table of Shlomo HaMelech because it was not actively used for lechem aponim. To which the Gemara says, I have a fundamental shayla, michti, einanios b'makom hashirus. So let's say, so we've seen this phrase before. Einanios b'makom hashirus means that there is no display of poverty in a place of immense wealth. The Beis HaMikdash was a place of immense wealth. So what the Gemara is asking over here is, I don't understand. Am I avdi d'shayish Nivdinu dikasef, nivdinu dizav. So therefore, ask the Gemara, I don't understand. There is no poverty in a place of incredible opulence and wealth. The Beis Hamikdash was a place of incredible opulence and wealth. So why are we making tables out of marble? Marble is very nice for your countertop, but it does not belong in the Beis Hamikdash. The tables should be made of gold. The tables should be made of silver. What's happening here? Rav said, this is incredible. Amarav Chinina b'shem Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi b'shem, Rabbi Shmuel Barav, Yitzchak mipnei shehu marsiach. So I'll say, interestingly enough, because ultimately, again, metal conducts heat. So I'll say, when you are dismembering the animals, right, and you're putting down the limbs of the animals on a table, it's hot, right? It's hot, right? Because it was inside the animal. So the problem with metal is, metal would potentially accelerate the decay of those sacrificial parts. As opposed to ultimately, again, shayish, marble, stone, retains its coolness even with the limbs of the animal, and therefore, again, that's more bakavadit. So both say, inachinami, normally we would make everything out of gold and silver, but because in this case we need the marble, because it's ultimately for the benefit of the sacrificial parts, therefore halacha lamaisu, make a few tables at least out of marble. Both say one more piece and then we'll stop. Shalshachar hayinishchat al kerem mizrach. So I'm supposed to remember again, the Mishnah pointed out that the tamid shalshachar and the tamid shalbein arba'im, the morning tamid and the afternoon tamid, were shechted in two different places, right? Two opposite rings, right? So the morning tamid was shechted on the kerem mizrachis tzifonis, by the northeast side, right? And the tamid shalbein arba'im was. So the morning offering was shechted tzifonis. What is this? Northwest. Sorry, morning was northwest, and afternoon ultimately again was northeast. Northwest and northeast. So ask the Gemara Minahani Mili, why are you shechting their kabaros at two different locations? It's actually quite amazing. Amar Rav Chisda d'Amakra, Shnayim Layom. Because the Pasuk says, when we talk about the Karban Tamid, Shnayim Layom, two every day. Kineged Hayom. Ultimately, I'm going to say, interestingly enough, the Tamid should be shechted opposite the rays of the sun. So wherever the sun is shining at that particular time of day, that's where you should go ahead and shecht the Karban. So the Tamid Shal Shachar is shechted corresponding to the rays of the sun. The Tamid Shal Bein Arba'im is also shechted corresponding to the rays of the sun. Tain Lamiachar Bais, so that supports this. Shnayim Layom Kineged Ayom. Atomer Neged Ayom. So it doesn't mean opposite the rays of the sun. Oh, Eino Ela Chovas Ayom. Maybe Shnayim Layom just means what? You have two obligations per day, but it's not telling you where it should be shechted. Kishu Omer Es HaKeves Echa Taseh BaBoker. So what's it? The pasuk already spells out that one carbon is done by day, one carbon is done in the afternoon. What does it mean then when the pasuk says shnayim layom? Neged hayom. Ultimately, when the carbon is shechted, the carbon should be shechted opposite the rays of the sun. Ha ketzad. Tamid shal shachar hayinishchat al keren tzifonis ma'aravis. So therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, the tamid shal shachar was shechted by the tzifonis ma'aravis corner al tabash, near by the second ring. V'shal bein arba'im hayinishchat al keren tzifonis mizrachis al tabash, near. So therefore, we see that both the tamid shal shachar and tamid shal bein arba'im were shechted in their respective locations. Why? Why? Because l'mais, again, that's where the sun was. So ultimately, the Gemara Darshan is based on the pasuk shnayim layom, Kineged Hayom. It has to be shechted opposite the area where the sun would shine. So the morning Tamid is shechted in one place, the afternoon Tamid is shechted in a different place. So we'll stop over here. I just want to share with you just a short idea. Because the thing about it, I was going to record it later, but I think it's